magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2019.
Yeah.
Prayed up and hoping God is upon you today in various ways, maybe through your devotional times, through reading the Bible, through conversing with him. The mere fact that, Marianne, we can talk to God, that should be a marvel we kind of think about each day, that
That's
we have
true.
The privilege, the opportunity, and not only that we get to do it, but that he listens, that he's engaged with us, that he's responsive,
that
he'll work through circumstances way beyond us. Mm-hmm. We might even be praying up something, and he's like, oh, dear Mark, I have something so much better for you. Just be patient or hang in there, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And so we trust God will uniquely fashion this day for you in specific and maybe mysterious ways.
Yeah.
But God if they're works. His ways, they're good ways.
That's right.
Well, we began a new scripture verse yesterday on Memorization Monday. For those of you that have been tuned in for a period of time, you know all about Memorization Monday.
I'm loving it.
For those of you joining us for the first time, each and every Monday for the past, I guess, eight weeks.
Yeah.
We've been working on different scripture verses. And yesterday we began with Romans 5:8. My little memory tip, that 8 looks like a capital B.
Oh, that's
so
right.
What's the first word? But. But God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
It's a beautiful scripture.
And we had the privilege of having evangelist, free agent for Jesus, is what I call Tom Richardson, with us the past 2 weeks to divide that. And this next week, when we look at Romans 10:9, we'll have another special guest that'll share some of his testimony, his life journey, and share about Romans 10:9. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it being Tuesday. We read usually a chapter or so from Memories of an African Son.
Thank you.
Our listeners. In fact, we had one in earlier yesterday that came in. I saw him pointing his finger on you, Marianne. I love your reading.
Aww.
I love time that you share. Aww. So thank you for being so faithful and a part of this radio ministry.
Thank you.
And as I had the opportunity to read this chapter titled My Father, it's probably not only a special one for you, but when you account all these wonderful things about your dad, you know, the way he served others, how he was gifted as a teacher and taught in so many ways, this probably creates some, I won't say tension, but some emotion, because we're talking about your dad. And I love when you get to the very end, you said, my father mattered to me.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, after I read that chapter, the last statement, I think, in the book of John, where it says, if everything was recounted, what Jesus did and said and shared, there wouldn't be enough room in all this world for all the books that would be penned, or something along those.
Couldn't hold the books.
Yeah, couldn't hold the books. And I would say that this program, there's no way you could recount all the wonderful ways your dad worked and was used of God.
No.
But you do sum it up pretty well with some illustrations and some storytelling in this chapter.
Thank you.
It's chapter 47 in Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. But you closed out with verses out of Matthew chapter 25. And I thought I would just share that as our opening reading to get our hearts all focused on what would God say to all of us through your writing, through his scripture, and through how you use this and wove this into your story about your dad, who was a servant to so many.
Oh, thank you.
I'll add a couple extra verses to kind of frame it and get us all focused on God's word. So
that's always good.
I know there's a blessing in store for all of us.
There always is when you read God's word. Yeah. There is always a blessing.
So we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31, and I'll read through verse 40. And the heading is The Sheep and the Goats. While the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the peoples one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And this is the special verse, maybe a little referring to your dad in unique ways that God used him. This is verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Mm. Oh, a special portion here in the scriptures of Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. I wanted to read that as a framework for today's program because you talk about your father, somebody who really gave to so many others, gave to you, obviously, his daughter. And I don't know if you want to have any other background or just want to read your chapter, but it's
titled,
just
read it.
My Father.
Chapter 47, My Father. My father was one of those men who seemed larger than life. I was not the only one who thought so. I've heard many others make that statement about him over the years. It would take volumes to recount all he ventured out to do. He floated down the Nile River with hippos swimming by the small boat. He walked on little-known roads in India. He loved preaching in the Appalachian Hills. He went into dangerous countries, to people meeting in fear from their governments, to spread the gospel he so loved. He had 7 college degrees. He was brilliant, in a way few people seemed to be. He seemed to know history by heart. Just name a country, name an era. He used to sit and work out math problems just for fun in the evening to pass a leisurely moment. His enjoyment of life was contagious. He loved to watch cartoons and read Disney books with his grandkids, whom he adored, every single one of them. He had a great laugh and gave the best hugs. My father had deep experience with pain and poverty. He was a first-generation converted Christian, not born into a Christian family. Abandoned by his own father, he went hungry and barefoot and began work in the steel mills at the age of 10 to help support his mother and younger brothers and sisters. He personally experienced the impact of horrifying crime and abuse around him. And it is the grace of God that his life turned out as it did. He always said that with great certainty. At the age of 12, he wandered into a church he saw while walking alone down a Chicago street. He had felt inwardly compelled to enter. He sat at the back, looking around, and it was at that moment that an elder at the front of the church saw him and came to that back row and sat down next to him to inquire and talk with him. The deacons and elders of that church took one young boy under their wing and began to help him in his miserable circumstances, to encourage him, and history changed. Mm. Later, they wanted to enroll him in a mechanics school, as he had shown an aptitude and love for both carpentry and mechanics. They hoped for at least some education for him, but they were unaware, even then, of what he was capable. He instead was determined to go to a 4-year college, no matter what it took or how hard he had to work. So he set off with one suit and one pair of shoes in an old suitcase. My father ended up teaching Latin and philosophy, along with numerous other subjects. He spoke 5 languages, and he was capable of getting around in 2 others. People flocked to him just to talk with him because he had a startlingly clear discernment. He had a kind heart. My mother said she had watched him give away his last $10 in order to help someone. He was that unique person who's quite at home in a castle or at a pauper's table. I don't know why exactly. He just saw the people and not the surroundings. He believed in people, their capabilities, and their uniqueness. My father felt strongly about treating people well and with equality. Years before we ever left our Tennessee home, he had already gotten himself into tremendous hot water on that subject. Hmm. As a pastor, he had invited all the members
leaders, the pastor, elders and deacons, along with the choir of the local black church, to come and worship with us in our all-white congregation, well before the days of desegregation in the South. He did it because he believed it was right, and that's how he was. My parents and I were far away in Africa during the height of the American Civil Rights Movement, but I knew well where my father stood on those things because he'd already taken his stand. Probably the one thing I would hope to ever pass on from my father, if I could, was the way he made people think. Over and over, he pushed me to think. Never assume and never presume. Hmm. Always, always think. It's what he taught us all, I guess, to always think. I often hear people despair of only impacting one life. They bemoan their small circle, their short reach. They feel small or lacking because they've lived in one place all their life, that they have only a few friends. They lament that they've never done, quote, great things. I could not disagree with them more. I think of that elder who had the wherewithal to walk to the back of a church that snowy Chicago morning and help a young, barefoot, ragged, sad boy, utterly abandoned by his father. That man changed history. I'll never know him, unless by a miracle. I don't know his name, but I will tell you this. There is no way to put any price on how that elder and those deacons changed history. They changed my history and that of my family. My father's gift was that of a teacher. He taught me the names of the stars at night, meticulously finding them on the star map and having me memorize them in the sky. He taught me the dynamics of how airplanes fly, for the simple reason that we happen to be flying on one. He taught me to think on and on every day. He taught constantly everywhere we went. At heart, he was a teacher. My father's greatest message in life was that God is real. The saving gospel of Jesus and the truth that there is a God was his heart blood. That message still echoes down the lives of all who knew him. My father preached that gospel, the good news of the Messiah Jesus, around the world. He went on to so many places after the Africa days to relieve missionaries in various locales by taking over their work for them when they needed a break. He went into dangerous places, behind the Iron Curtain. He went to plant churches in remote places where there had been none, and in places where the church had existed for centuries and was in trouble. He was instrumental in starting many mission works in entire regions where people had never heard the gospel. It's a long list, the places he went and the work that he did, while also continuing as a university professor teaching world religions and also missions and Bible subjects. Much of the rest of his life was spent traveling the world preaching the good news of Jesus. His favorite song was Amazing Grace. When he became sick, calls poured in from around the world. People we did not even know, from nations most of the family had never been to. So many, in tears, telling us how he had changed their lives. He was buried with a handmade blanket from a tribe in northern India. They had called in tears and asked that it be put in the casket as a special thank you from them. A family from China made a journey to his grave to show their gratitude and to play their violins in his honor on the windy hillside over his tombstone. If you ever happen to see any lost and barefoot, hungry children wandering around in any part of the world, don't overlook them. Please, believe me, they matter. Take it from me. They may matter to many people in the very long run, and I assure you, with tears, they matter to God. This is one thing I know in life and am sure of, because once my father was one of those lost boys, and he mattered. He mattered to me. Jesus said, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Matthew 25:35-40. My father mattered to me. Father, you see the person. You don't judge our value by poverty or wealth. You don't put us in a category by our nationality or our race. You don't judge us by our social or education level. You always see the person. Help me to see people that way too. Help me to know in the depths of my understanding that every human being and all of life has extreme value. Don't let me overlook anyone. And thank you for not overlooking me. We pray in Jesus' name, who gave his life for us all.
You know, I'm thinking this is kind of like a tribute to your father. And yet I think your father so helps us all capture a glimpse of who God the Father is from the various ways he's demonstrated his love for people, how God demonstrates his love for people. And I was thinking as I was reading this chapter before today's program, sometimes the problem we have with God the Father is we don't understand what a good, wholesome, loving God is. We have misconceptions or misunderstandings because maybe we didn't have a healthy earthly dad to model to us characteristics of generosity, of love, of care, of compassion, of concern. And your father, I think, really modeled that seemingly in so many different ways.
He did.
And did that impact you in how you saw God the Father?
I'm sure it must have. I would think so. I think he did not. His father left him.
Right.
And so he had nothing to go on in terms of being a father except his love for God and God being a father to him.
Did you ever talk about that? Because I'm thinking somebody might be tuning in. They have maybe that same pattern.
Sure.
That same understanding, well, my dad wasn't there for me, my father wasn't there, he didn't provide. And so I wonder if your dad ever talked about, because he could feel like, who is God to provide for me? You know, obviously God did and has, but did he ever say that he learned what it was to be a dad as he saw God ministering or meeting his needs?
You know, that's an interesting thing. I am assuming he did. I don't know. What I do know is that he was like a channel to so many people of something that, God gave him.
Right.
I don't know. It was like supernatural. And I believe that can be true for other people who did not have a father or have an absent father or like in his case, a really horrific situation. And so I firmly believe that God can be the father of the fatherless. That's scripture. I believe it. I wish that we would all actually believe that and get away from the psychology, get away from all of it and call on that supernatural power to be the father that we need.
Well, and I think God delights or desires certainly to have that role in all of our lives, whether we had healthy fathers, wonderful fathers, even the best of dads had times where they disappointed us or failed us or they were imperfect. And yet we have this perfect, sovereign God that knows everything about us, that provided a way, a method, a means for us to connect with him because of what the Lord Jesus did. Because Jesus so loved the Father, he was willing to sacrifice his all. And I think if we can capture that or get even a glimpse of who God really is, it'll make a profound difference in our lives. And maybe sometimes it'll even help us give slack to our own earthly dads or, you know, those that didn't model God the Father perfectly.
True. And I think that many men, as fathers, can call upon God the Father and say, work through me. Just do it. I give myself to you.
Help me be the father that you're to me.
Yeah.
But I think it starts with us having that proper concept of who God is.
Yeah.
How he is this perfect father that has provided a way, and that won't leave us or abandon us, forsake us. I know David talks about that. Though my father and mother abandoned me or forsook me.
Yeah. You will not.
Right, right.
That's right.
And so it begins with getting to know that almighty sovereign God who does care for you, who does love you, who's proven it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe this is a tough subject for you today.
Maybe it's a tough subject
for people that didn't have a good earthly father.
Oh, yeah.
There is a heavenly father that can redeem those points of hurt or pain or suffering and can maybe bring meaning or understanding to them. It doesn't mean things just go away or everything becomes fine overnight, but there is a sovereign God who does care for you, who can be called on as Father. And I know I've taken refuge in Him many times when there's been disappointments in life, and He's there available, and not only available, but He cares.
He does.
And He does desire to know you. Well, what a special chapter. It's called My Father, Out of Memories of an African Son, available here at the Great News Radio Center. I know we've talked a lot about it, Marianne, but I think it's just such a great devotional. It's God-honoring. It helps center us on either a passage of Scripture or a text that helps us know God the Father more. And as our radio listeners continue to pray up this ministry as it's used in so many people's lives, I think this book has just been wonderfully received by so many, and even some of our international students, the visiting scholars or their parents that kind of follow along with us each and every week. I pray for them, pray for the people that are receiving this book as a gift and can really benefit and maybe get to know God the Father through this in this special chapter.
I am so pleased to know that, and I'll say what my father, I know what he would say to what you just said, and I will say it too. To God alone goes the glory.
To God be the glory.
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.